Thank you for that song. Truly, the basis of Christianity is the Christmas story. I heard a skeptic one time that had come to faith in Christ was talking about what brought them to Christ. And it was the compelling message of Christianity because it was so unique. Nobody could have made that up. The fact that God was born to man. Has your life ever been interrupted? Have you ever been focused on something and something else got in the way? Earlier this year, Gina and myself were going to Reno to get away for a couple of days, and I had checked the weather earlier in the week to make sure the roads would be clear, heading up to Reno through the mountains, and they were clear. So we were really excited. This is going to be a great little overnight getaway for us. So we're traveling up to the mountains, and we get a little past Roseville. And Gina says, "You know, I'm going to check it one more time just to make sure the weather's clear and to make sure the roads are okay." So she checked it, and the roads were clear, which was great. But the report was that chains were required. They say, not so bad, right? Not so bad, except for the fact that I'm a city boy and I know absolutely nothing about how to put chains on the tire of a car. So we stop and buy chains. Then we get to the place where you have to stop and put chains on your tires. How many have done this before? You know what I'm talking about? Okay. So you guys are really going to enjoy this one, all right? So we get to the side of the road, and before we get out to attempt to put the chains on, we have enough wherewithal to read the directions. And the directions are getting a little complicated. So we ditch the directions, pull out our cell phones, checked out a YouTube video. YouTube has the answers to everything. So we get on YouTube and we're like, we got this. So we get out the car, it's like 20 degrees outside. The snow is literally coming down. I get out the car and I like slip. I'm like, this is not a good start. So we get to the first tire and we're trying to finagle it on there. We're trying to do everything. Now, let me stop. Now, some of you guys are thinking, you had your wife help you with this? The answer is yes, because if I didn't, I would still be out there right now trying to get it done. So we're trying to get the chain on this first tire, and finally we figured out how to do it. We're frustrated. We're like, this is ridiculous, but at least we only have one more tire to go. So go to the other side of the car, we're like, all right, let's just get this. We did it the first time. We figured out how to do it. Let's get on this tire. Let's just get on down the road. Let's get to our destination. So we're putting it all on, and we just about to snap it in, and we're good to go. And then I hear somebody honk at me. I look over and I'm like, why is a trucker honking at me? And he rolls down his window. He's got something to say. I'm like, now is not the time to have a conversation with me, dude. Like, I just want to get, I'm freezing cold. I'm not used to this weather. The snow's falling. My hands are about to fall off, you know? And he says, hey, what? You put the chains on the wrong tires. So what do you mean? He said, for that car, the chains are supposed to go on the front tires. You put the chains on the back tires. I'm like, oh my goodness, we got to start all over again. At that point, like, my pride wasn't even hurt. I just wanted to get in the car and get down the road. I didn't even care. So finally, we got the chains on the front of the tires, and finally, or on the tires, the front tires, and finally, we ended up making it to Reno safely. Sometimes in life, interruptions happen because things just happen. We had to put chains on our tires because snow falls in the mountains. Sometimes interruptions in our life happen because we live in a broken world. Sometimes interruptions in our life happen because we make poor decisions. And because of our poor decisions, there's some results of that. But sometimes God interrupts our plans to invite us into his greater plan. Sometimes God interrupts our plan to invite us into his greater plan. And this is exactly what happened the very first Christmas. Mary was engaged. She was getting ready to be married. She was preparing for her wedding and life with her future husband. But in Luke 1, something happened that she never would have imagined. Her life was interrupted. For most of us, we don't like interruptions in life, do we? We don't look forward to them. Interruptions are uncomfortable. But sometimes what we see as interruptions to our life are actually invitations from God into something greater. Sometimes what I view and what you view as an interruption to your life is really an invitation from God into something greater. In Luke chapter 1, this is exactly what happens in the life of Mary. Luke 1 verse 26 says this, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. An angel came to Mary during the sixth month of her cousin Elizabeth. Mary was engaged to Joseph during this time, but in Jewish culture, the period before marriage is much more than what we understand engagement to be today. So in the Jewish culture, before marriage, the engagement was called a betrothal period. And what a betrothal period was, during this time, they were actually considered legally husband and wife, even though they lived apart, even though they did not have a sexual relationship. If for some reason it was broken up, the only way it could be broken up was either through death or divorce. So Mary here is betrothed to Joseph, verse number 28. And the angel came in unto her, he came to Mary and said, "Hail, that thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." The angel comes to her house and he interrupts her. He tells her that she's highly favored. And this just means that God has looked on her and God has given her grace. Now, this is a woman from Nazareth. Nazareth was a city that didn't have a very good reputation. In fact, later on, it was questioned, can any good thing possibly come from Nazareth? So you have an unlikely woman from a very unlikely town. She wasn't rich. She wasn't powerful. She didn't have notoriety. God didn't choose her because of her upbringing. Nobody would have picked Mary to be the mother of Jesus. So why did God do it? Because God is a God of grace. Maybe you're here and you think, God doesn't want me. You think I'm too bad, or I'm not a church person, or I've messed up too big. Good news. God operates on the system of grace. The basis of God accepting us is not our goodness. The basis of God accepting us is his goodness towards us. And what Mary does is Mary is chosen by God, not because of anything she's done, but because God looked on somebody that nobody would have chosen, and God said, "I want you," because God is a God of grace. Now, how did Mary respond in verse 29 to an angel that appears to her? I think she responds the same way we would. Check it out. "And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be." How would you respond if you saw an angel? What would be going through your mind? It says right here that she was troubled. She's like, what's going on? If I saw an angel, I'm thinking, did I eat some bad pizza the night before or something? Like, an angel, what is going through her mind? Maybe she's thinking, am I seeing things? Am I hallucinating? And the last part of that verse, it says she cast in her mind. This is interesting because what this means is she literally reasoned. She thought with a sound mind, what is going on? What is happening to me? She's thinking through this crazy experience that she's having. She's thinking about it. Verse number 30, the angel tells her God's will, God's plan for the next step of her life. The angel says, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." The angel has just appeared. He's just interrupted her life and says, "Fear not. I'm going to show you what God's divine plan is for the next part of her life." Because God was going to use Mary for something so much bigger than just her regular life. God was going to use Mary to do something that was prophesied about centuries before. He tells her, the angel says, you're going to have the Son of God. You are going to have the one that was prophesied about. Now, if you're Mary, that's a whole lot to take in. One minute you're planning your marriage. One minute you're thinking about everything that's going to happen in the future. And the next minute it's like, oh yeah, you're going to have a baby and you're a virgin. Verse number 34, she asked a very honest question. Mary then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? How is this possible? Verse 36, Jesus answers the angel answers the question of how she's going to have Jesus. The angel says this, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. So the angel says, here's a sign. You have a cousin. You know her. Her name is Elizabeth. She's really old. She hasn't had a kid. She's not supposed to have a baby. She's barren. But a sign to you is that what you don't know is right now she's pregnant. And then in verse 37, this is what the angel says. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And this idea of a virgin birth may present some reasonable doubts in your mind. And those doubts are reasonable. How is that possible for a virgin to have a son? You're right, it is impossible for that to happen. But if there's a God that is a creator, if there's a creator God, let's suppose that there's a creator God that could create the entire world from nothing, would it be possible for that creator God to bring life from the womb of a virgin? Would that be possible? And I get maybe some pushback. You're like, no, that's not scientifically possible. You're exactly right. But if there's a creator God, if there possibly is a creator God that's powerful enough to create everything we see, I think we would both have to agree that if he can do that, then he can create a baby from the womb of a virgin. And this is Mary has the same question you may have. How is this possible? And the angel says, I just want you to know that with God, there's nothing that's impossible. Verse 38, this is how Mary responds to all this. She says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Behold, the servant of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Mary accepts this interruption. Mary surrenders to it. She says, God, be it unto me according to your word. If this is your working in my life, if this is you interrupting, then I'm in. If this is something that you're trying to do, I'm in on it. I'm not fighting. I'm not resisting. I'm not going to get angry. I'm not going to get mad. If this is your plan, then I'm in. Now, when we look at scripture, we see ways that God interrupts our life. And you may say, how does God interrupt our life? How does God speak into our life? Quickly, we're going to hit four quick ways that God speaks into our life, because God is a God that does speak. God is a God that does want to interrupt our life and does want to bring life to us. The first way that God speaks is he speaks to us through his word. I think these are in your handout. I'm in the service program. As you hear the word of God and as you read the word of God, God speaks to you. This is why it's so important that as a church that we gather together, that we hear the word of God. This is why it's important that we have daily time where we open the word or open a devotional or something, and we let the word of God permeate our hearts, because this is what God does. This is why it's important that when we come in here, we really try to engage in the message. You know, I read the other day that a goldfish has a longer attention span than the average human. And I thought, and I have to preach and try to keep these people awake for half an hour. Pray for me. You guys are like, and I have to listen to you for half an hour. Pray for us. But it's important as we hear the word of God that we intentionally try to engage with God's word. Maybe take notes. I know notes isn't for everybody. Everybody doesn't remember that way, but maybe that's another way where you can engage and you can hear what God wants to speak to you through his word. And it's important that as we take time in the word of God, as we come together and we gather around the word of God, that we don't just sit here as like, this is what we do every week, but this is a time where we are focused on what God wants to speak to us about. Another way that God speaks to us, is through the Holy Spirit. In John 14, Jesus will prompt your heart to do something, to take a step of faith, to get out of your comfort zone. And maybe you can't really explain it, but maybe you just feel like there's something in your heart that's just telling you, man, I should do this. Now, if there's something in your heart telling you to do something, but it doesn't line up with Scripture, that's not the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will always line up with Scripture. Maybe there's a place in your life where you need to grow. And if that lines up with Scripture, then that's probably the Spirit of God leading you. In our connection group these last couple weeks, there's been stuff talked about that's just God really speaking into me saying, you need to grow in these areas. And in my flesh, I'm like, I don't need that. I'm good. But I know it is. It's God's Spirit working in me through His Word that's saying, Nate, you need to be real. I need to understand this is a weakness in your life, and I've called you to grow in that area. And you know what I need to do? I need to respond to God speaking to me and interrupting me. The third way God speaks to us is through other Christians. Hebrews chapter 10. God allows other people to speak into our life, to challenge us, to build our faith. And this is why connection groups are so important. Where you will surround yourself with people that will encourage you, that will build you up. This is another reason why we need to walk in humility. When another Christian challenges us, it's not, oh, who are you talking? What are you saying? No. Okay, brother, I want to receive this as a way for me to grow. This is why we need to be praying for our brothers and sisters around here, because God uses other Christians to speak life into us and to build us up. The Christian life is not something that we can do on our own. Maybe you can get the next greatest score in a video game by yourself, but you're not going to be following Jesus the way He intended it to happen if you're doing it on an island. God speaks into us and God interrupts us through other Christians. You know, I'm so thankful I have some people that speak into me. I'm so thankful I have some people that will correct me when I'm wrong. And you know what? Do I always like it? No. But I need it. And that's God speaking life into me through that person. How does God speak to you? He uses His Word. He uses the Spirit. He uses other Christians. But He also uses circumstances. Time and time again, God speaks to us through circumstances to open up our eyes. There are times where, if we're honest, we ignore God speaking to us. There are times, if we're honest, that we're not as serious about our faith as we should be. There are times where we become apathetic in our faith. There are times when we just go through the motions. And sometimes God speaks the only way He knows we will listen. Because I can ignore the Word of God. My life is busy. I can say, I'm not going to read the Bible this week. I can ignore God's Spirit. I can even say, other Christians, okay, I'll sometimes hit and miss connection group if I go, but I can't ignore circumstances. Oswald Chambers says, God speaks in the language you know best, not through your ears, but through your circumstances. God speaks in the language we know best, not through our ears, but through our circumstances. And sometimes what God does is He interrupts our life through circumstances that are out of our control. And really what it is it's God saying, listen, I want to invite you into something bigger. I want to invite you into something greater. I wonder, is there a circumstance in your life that you view as an interruption that may be God speaking into you, trying to tell you something? Mary embraced the interruption of God two ways. And there are these two ways, are the two ways I want us to embrace when God interrupts us. The first one is this, is that God's interruptions are a result of His favor, not His anger. God's interruptions are a result of His favor, not His anger. Mary's living her life. She's getting ready for marriage and everything that comes along with it. And God just straight up drops a bombshell on her. I mean, God is like, hey, I'm going to tell you something that you couldn't even dream this up. This is going to be something that's totally out of your realm of what you believe is possible. And the angel says the reason why God's doing this is because she has found favor. Not because God's mad at her, not because God's trying to get her, but because God has shown her grace. I'm really concerned that there's this belief that we often fall into as Christians. And this belief is empty of gospel truth. It's this belief that God's mad at us every time we do something wrong, and thus bad circumstances happen. So every time I do something wrong, God's mad at me, something bad's gonna happen. this idea of karma, but it's empty of gospel truth. This thing is called moralism. It's the Christian version. This thing causes Christians to live in fear. This causes you to miss out on the abundant Christian life that Jesus has for you. This is what Jesus says in John chapter 3. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. If you've put your faith and trust in Jesus, the wrath of God does not abide on you. If there's been a time in your life when you've repented of your sins and you've turned to Jesus in faith, then the condemnation, the wrath of God is no longer on you, because all of God's condemnation, all of God's wrath was placed on his son Jesus at the cross of Calvary. And what happens is, and this is big, because if we will think about the gospel, about what the gospel means, we'll realize that I don't have to be plagued by this worry that God's going to get me, because on the cross of Calvary, God put all of his wrath on Jesus. And when I accept Jesus, now all of God's love is on me. All of God's acceptance is on me. Notice another scripture in Romans 8. It says, there's now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. God doesn't interrupt your life and my life out of his anger. He does it out of his love. It's a desire to call us into his bigger plan. In 1968, scientist Spencer Silver was attempting to develop a super strong adhesive substance. But he came up with something different. Instead of something really strong, he came up with this mildly adhesive substance. It wasn't what he wanted. In fact, it was almost a failure to what he was trying to do. It wasn't his original plan. This is the crazy thing, is the interruption that he had turned out to be the most successful thing he ever did in his life. Because in 1968, he invented the Post-it note. How many of you guys have used a Post-it note before? You know how that was, you know how that came about? Through an interruption. Through something that wasn't part of his plan. But it was the single most successful thing he ever did in his life. Why? Through an interruption. What if God brings interruptions to your life out of his love for you? What if God is trying to use that interruption to show you that you need to stop relying on yourself and trusting him in a greater way? What if God is using that interruption in your life to show you that you need to take your faith more seriously? What if God is bringing this interruption in your life that's very uncomfortable to show you that you need to grow spiritually? Max Lucado says so eloquently, we skipped around a little bit, the circumstances we ask God to change are often the circumstances God is using to change us. The circumstances that we ask God to change, the circumstances that we fret about, that we worry about, that we get upset about, that we pray, say, God, would you please change this? That we figure out, if I can do this, then this won't happen this way. Those circumstances are often the circumstances that God is using to change us. You know, maybe you're here and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus. Maybe there's never been a time in your life when you've become a Christian. By becoming a Christian, I'm not meaning that you start joining a church or become baptized. No, no, no. It's a moment in your life when you turn to Jesus by faith. Maybe you've never done that and God's interrupted your life. And you're rethinking some things, and maybe you're kind of, man, and it's caused you to maybe have some interest in faith. You know, maybe God has interrupted your life because he wants you to begin a relationship with him through Jesus. In God's divine wisdom, he's bringing an interruption across our path. God's interruptions do not come in spite of his goodness, but because of his goodness. Sometimes when we have an interruption, we get upset, we worry, we stress, and what it does is it lowers our quality of life, doesn't it? And then in turn, it lowers the quality of life for the people around us. But what if during our interruptions, we said, you know what, God, I know this is something that you're doing. I know you're not mad at me. I know this is part of your grace. And this is why, number two, that he interrupts us. Because God takes us away from our smaller plans into his greater plans. Mary had a good plan for her life. It was to be married. It was to have a happy life. If Mary were to tell us her plans for her life, we'd be like, that's awesome. You're engaged. You're about to start life with your husband together. You guys are planning out everything. This is awesome. But God said, you have this really great plan for your life, but I'm going to interrupt you to invite you into a grander plan. I'm going to interrupt your life out of my love because I want you to be a part of something so much bigger than just your everyday existence. And yeah, you're still going to get married. And yeah, you're still going to have a great relationship with your husband. But I'm going to have something bigger for your life. You are going to be the mother of the one who saves humanity from their sin. If you're like 99% of us, when God interrupts us, when God speaks to me, when he leads us maybe to get out of our comfort zone or take a step in our faith, I think, can I really do this? I think, should I really do this? If I obey God in this way, how's it going to affect my life? But what if the interruptions of God weren't about our life at all? What if the interruptions that God brings across your path aren't about you at all? What if when God interrupts us, what he really is doing is inviting us into his bigger plan, into the work that he wants to do in your life, and in the life of your marriage, in the life of your family, in the life of this church, in the life of this city? And what if God looks at your life with love and with grace and says, I want you to be a part of something so much bigger than yourself. I want you to be a part of my plan for this world. And I'm speaking into your life, God says, because I want you to be a part of it. Here's the beautiful thing about God, is God doesn't need any person in this room. That's a humbling statement, isn't it? God doesn't need you. God didn't need Mary. God didn't need fill in the blank of a Bible character. He doesn't need any of us. But you know what he does? He wants all of us. God doesn't need us, but God wants us. God doesn't look at you and say, man, God doesn't say, I sure hope that they don't get that they don't get off track because I really need them. And if I, God, are you think God needs us? But God in his mercy and grace says, no, I don't need anybody, but I want that person and that person and that person and that person to be a part of my bigger plan of what I'm going to do in that city and what I'm going to do in that person's life and what I'm going to do in that church. And I'm going to take that person's life and I'm going to interrupt them because I want them to be a part of something bigger than they would have ever been a part of their own. In 1776, in the city of Philadelphia, 56 men accepted the opportunity to be a part of something so much bigger than themselves. Well, each of them were very successful. Their successful lives were interrupted by something greater, the opportunity of freedom. These men were lawyers, they were businessmen, they were farmers, they were doctors, but they knew they had a higher calling. And one by one, many of them very affluent people, they allowed their successful life to be interrupted and signed their names on one of the most famous documents the world has ever known, the Declaration of Independence. And over 200 years later, we sit in this room enjoying freedom because more than 200 years earlier, some men allowed their lives to be interrupted. What if God is interrupting your life because he wants you to be a part of something bigger than yourself? As we wrap it up this morning, I want us to look at how Mary responded, and I want us to respond the same way. In Luke chapter 1, this is how Mary responded. Notice it says, she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. When the angel first comes and interrupts her, initially she doesn't say, yes, whatever you're going to say, angel, I'm going to do it. She doesn't say, nope, I'm not doing that. She cast in her mind. This is what that means. She just thought about it. She considered what was happening. She's about to consider what the angel is about to unfold to her. The angel interrupts her life and says, this is my next plan. This is my next step for you. Mary's considering all of this. She even says, how is this possible because I'm a virgin? What is she doing? She's questioning. That's what she's doing. This is what you're telling me? How is this possible? She's considering. Is this an interruption from God? What's going on? But notice at the end what she does. She surrenders. She says, behold the handmaid unto the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. Mary says, okay, I'm your servant. Whatever you're trying to do, God, I don't understand it. I've never seen this done before. This is not scientifically possible. This is not what I learned. I have no idea. But God, if this is you, then I'm in. God, if this is what you're trying to do to me, I don't understand it, but I'm in. But I am going to surrender to it. When your life is interrupted, will you do what Mary did? What did she do? She considered and she surrendered. When God speaks into your life, instead of just saying no, instead of saying, I can't do that, would you just consider what's God doing? Would you just think about it? That maybe God is up to something bigger than we can see. That maybe God is doing more than we totally understand. And then will you surrender to it? My friend's father was diagnosed with cancer 7 years ago. At the time of his diagnosis, he had two teenagers and he had an elementary age child, and he didn't immediately know his prognosis. And he says that after he found out that he was diagnosed with cancer, he immediately just started planning his funeral and planning his death. They had no idea what was going to happen. He had a year of intense radiation and chemotherapy, and he was able to beat cancer. And I've heard him talk about his cancer experience many times, and he's written about it. And he talks about it in a very unlikely way. Something that almost killed him, something that was an interruption to his life, to put it lightly. He describes his cancer experience as this. He says it was a gift. He says it's one of the best things that's ever happened to him. Because he says through that interruption, he learned what was truly important in life. He learned how big God was and how weak he was. And he also learned that God was leading and calling him and to do something bigger than he ever imagined. He ended up giving up his comfortable job and ended up being a pastor all the way across the country. And now that church is growing and seeing incredible things happen. And he says he would have never done any of that or realized any of those things without the interruption of God in his life. Maybe the health problem that you can't seem to shake. Maybe the relational problem that seems to never get resolved. Maybe it's the work problem. Maybe the financial problem. What if those interruptions are actually a gift from God? What if those things that keep you up at night, what are those things that cause you to worry? What if those interruptions are actually a gift from God? Because God is trying to use that to transform you and to mold you and to change you. And in the moment, you would rather not experience any of this, but God is inviting you into a bigger plan. Would you be like Mary? Would you say, God, be it unto me according to your word? Maybe you say, you know what? I don't know what's happening to me, but I'm going to surrender to it. I don't know what's happening, but I'm going to surrender. I don't know how. Would you just pray this prayer? Lord, be it unto me according to your word. Lord, some circumstances have obviously come about my path, and I don't really understand everything. But Lord, be it unto me according to your word. What if the interruptions of life were actually a gift? Interruptions. It's one of the unlikely gifts of Christmas. Would you join me in prayer? God, I am in front of people that no doubt you have probably interrupted recently, maybe through their circumstances like you did for Mary.